We want to continue a series that we have started in the book of Proverbs. And so tonight we're going to look at something from Proverbs chapter 2. So you want to be turning there. And as you're turning there, perhaps you think about the book of Proverbs. And we're familiar with many of the biblical Proverbs, of course. But there are many man-made, uninspired, uninspired by the Holy Spirit Proverbs that you and I are familiar with as well. And perhaps one of those that we think about very often, and maybe you had it quoted to you as you were growing up or so on, about the early bird gets the worm. And I read something just the other day that's sort of a variation or a new take on that. And someone said the early bird can have the worm. Worms are gross and mornings are stupid. So I'm not sure, you know, if that one's going to make it, but with some of us, maybe it will. However, we look at the inspired Proverbs that we read in the Bible, and we understand the great wisdom, the great knowledge that is behind them, because they not only come from a man who is endowed with a great gift of knowledge and wisdom and an understanding heart, as Solomon was, but they are inspired by the Spirit of God, who gave this wisdom to Solomon. And so as we look at Proverbs chapter 2 tonight, we're going to think about the pathway of wisdom. And really, this is going to, it has developed over the course of developing the lesson, it has developed really more into a two-part lesson, at least this idea of wisdom's pathway. And because tonight we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2, and then Lord willing, next Sunday night we will add some more to this as we think about some things from Proverbs chapter 3 and Proverbs chapter 4. But all of this being inclusive of the idea of wisdom's pathway. And as we think about and contemplate wisdom's pathway, the only way, the reason it's important to study this is because the only way to end up at the right destination is to start on the right road. If you've got a place that you want to arrive at, you've got a destination where you want to be, then you've got to choose the right road. You've got to choose the right road to arrive at the destination that you wish to arrive. And as you think about the words path and way in the book of Proverbs, someone has done a count in the King James Version. And in the book of Proverbs, in the King James Version, the words path and way, or plurals, paths and ways, occur nearly 100 times in the book. And I think that says something very significant to us, that wisdom is a path. Wisdom is a path to walk. Wisdom is a way. Wisdom is a choice that we want to make. And as we look at Proverbs 2 tonight, Lord willing, Proverbs chapter 3 and 4 next Sunday night, we'll think about these paths, or this path of wisdom that God has laid out for us, that we need to choose to arrive at the destination that God wants us to end up for all eternity. And it reminds us a little bit, as we think about the idea of path and way, it reminds us a little bit of what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He said that there are two ways that we can choose. There's that broad gate, that wide gate that leads to a broad way, which ultimately ends up at destruction. And then there's that narrow gate that is the path to life eternal. It leads to that path that ends up in life eternal. Of that broad way, that wide road, that wide gate, that wide way, Jesus said, many are on it. But of that narrow way, Jesus said, few there be who find it. And so as we look at the book of Proverbs, we want to be those who find and choose the right way, the wise way, the way that helps us end up where God wants us to be, not only now in this life, but for all eternity. And that's found by walking in wisdom's pathway. And as we break these three chapters down, looking at one of them tonight, two of them next Sunday night, But as we break these down, it falls into an outline that will help us that I have discovered in a book on Proverbs by a man named Warren Wiersbe. Mr. Wiersbe has written several books on the Bible, and he's got quite a knack for giving some outlines that are very helpful in remembering some of the text and remembering some of the points that are made in the chapters themselves. And on this particular idea, or this particular section of the Bible, what we're going to look at tonight, point number one, wisdom protects our path. That's chapter two. Wisdom protects our path. But as we move on next Sunday night into chapter three, wisdom directs our path. And in chapter four, wisdom perfects our path. So wisdom perfects, directs, and protects our path. Tonight we want to look in chapter 2 that wisdom protects our path. And we're going to look from this chapter three different kinds of walks that are described. There are three ways in which we may choose to walk. And we find each one of them in this particular chapter. And again, to set the stage for not only this chapter, but also chapter 3 and 4 that, Lord willing, we will study next Sunday evening, notice once again the repetition of the phrase, "my son." Chapter 2, verse 1, "my son." Chapter 3, verse 1, "my son." You will find among chapter 2, 3, and 4 the phrase, "my son," repeated seven times. This is counsel, not just advice. This is counsel of a wise father to his son. It is ultimately, as we think about it, counsel of the heavenly Father to all of us as his sons and daughters. And so we read this and we make application for our own lives of what the Father is telling us about the paths of lives that we may choose. And tonight we want to think about how choosing the right path to end up at the right destination, that wisdom can help protect the path we choose. Three walks that are discussed in this chapter. Number one, in verses 1 through 10, walking with God. Verses 1 through 10, Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 10, walking with God. Now, once again, I am going to read these verses from Brother Hugo McCord's translation of the book of Proverbs. Brother McCord, great gospel preacher, great gospel scholar, taught at a couple of our Christian colleges, had a very long career, written many books and many great articles, very, very wise, wise man. But he was a scholar not only in many biblical matters, but also in the original languages of the Bible, both Old and New Testament. And before his death, he was able to translate the entire New Testament and substantial portions of the Old Testament. And one of the things that he completed from the Old Testament in its entirety is the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to use Brother McCord's translation tonight in reading this text. So if you've got the King James or something else, it may be a little bit of a variation from that. But we will also incorporate some of the words and phrases from other translations along the way as we begin to understand and kind of unpack what we're going to look at tonight, wisdom protecting our path, and the three walks in here. Number one, walking with God, verses 1 through 10. "My son, if you receive my words and store up my commandments within you, if you turn your ears toward wisdom and bend your heart toward understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as buried treasure, then you will understand reverence for the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth is understanding. He stores up counsel for the upright. He is a shield for those walking in integrity. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints, so that you will understand righteousness and justice and uprightness. Yes, every good way. Wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. As we look at walking with God, there are some things that stand out in the first 10 verses of chapter 2 to help us understand choosing the path that wisdom will direct us in to walk with God. My son, again, this is written by Solomon to his son, and yet we understand in the greater scheme, the bigger picture of things, this is written by the Father to all of his children, which we are. And so these words are for each and every one of us. And as we begin this walk, and as we begin walking down wisdom's pathway, and as we begin walking with God, I want you to notice in the first four verses of the chapter, there are eight imperatives. It comes out in the Hebrew language, but it also comes out basically in our English language as well. But in those four verses, you will find eight imperatives of what you and I should do. Again, looking at it, you'll see, number one, receive. Number two, store up. Your translation may say hide or treasure. Number three, turn, incline, some translations say. Number four, bend your heart, apply your heart, most translations say. But bend your heart, apply your heart. Number five, cry out. Number six, lift up your voice. Number seven, seek. Number eight, search. These are not suggestions. These are imperatives. And we are told in the Scriptures here very directly to receive, to store up, to turn our ears, to bend our heart, to cry out, to lift up our voice, to seek and to search for wisdom. I didn't know there were so many different ways to basically say the same thing, but it's right here. And each one of them driving it home to us from perhaps a little bit of a different nuance of meaning. But the idea being stressed is that we are to put out every effort that we have to find wisdom, to seek it, to receive it, to bend our heart toward, to cry out, to lift up our voice, to seek, to search, to incline our ears, to hide or store up or treasure it in our hearts. In every way possible, we do everything within our power and the ability of our mind and heart and common sense to draw this in to myself. It's almost like you've seen this sometimes, some of these contests where they go around with the big plexiglass dome and they fill it full of $100 bills or something like that, and they put somebody in there and they turn on a big fan, and you know what the person is supposed to do, and you're supposed to grab as much money as you can as it's all flying around you like crazy. And that's the idea that's kind of being said here. As wisdom is so available to us, as God makes it so available, remember the text tells us God gives wisdom. And as it's so available, we're snatching it, we're grabbing it, we're taking it, we're trying to incline, to seek, to search, to receive, to store up, to treasure, to hide, to find every possible gram and nugget of wisdom that we can. That's walking with God. And that helps us walk with God. And we see that this is the daily discipline of a lifetime. I encourage you to read your Bible. I think it's one of the best things you can do for your soul. It's one of the best things you can do for your mind. But what's being discussed here goes just a little bit deeper than I've read my two chapters today, therefore I'm finished. This is a whole lot more than just checking off, okay, I read for July 5th and all the previous days. I'm caught up. It goes just a little bit deeper than that. We're digging into, we're seeking, we're searching. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, he's actually speaking to some of his critics, but he uses a phrase there that I think is quite revealing. You search the Scriptures to find eternal life. And he really ends up telling them, if you had really been searching them like you should have, you would have found out about me. That's the kind of seeking, the kind of searching, the kind of receiving, the kind of treasuring and storing up, the hiding the Word of God, the bending our heart toward, the inclining our ear to receive the Word of God. That's walking with God. This is a consistent, daily regimen that I put myself through. It's like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I buffet my body daily. I discipline my body daily. I discipline my mind, my heart, my soul consistently, daily to learn, receive, store up, and treasure the Word of God. For the purpose of wisdom, to walk with God. We're challenged by this because while there are many great things we could say about theatrical productions and television, and the gospel has been presented through the media in a very effective way, in a very powerful way, and able to reach many places that it would not otherwise reach. But television has made our attention span very short. Because things like that have made our attention span very short, it is challenging for us to discipline ourselves to read, to study, to receive. We look out at the world and we see that the appetite for spiritual things perhaps is not as big as it ought to be. And we're looking at people who have a weak appetite for spiritual matters. Hopefully that would not be said of us as God's people, but unfortunately sometimes perhaps it could be. And so while we're challenged with giving attention to the Word of God, learning the wisdom of God, and we're so programmed by many things in this world that distract us and pull us away, and we just sometimes are tired by the challenge of devoting ourselves so long to the Word of God. You'll never get very wise with that kind of attitude. You'll never really get the wisdom that you need. You'll be what the Bible calls a wise guy, but not what the Bible, what the world calls a wise guy, but not what the Bible calls a wise man or a wise woman. And as we think about this, I was reading some material on Proverbs chapter 2 this last week, and I was reading. I've got an old commentary called The Preacher's Homiletical Commentary. And a homily is simply another word that's used in another bygone era for a sermon. But homiletical and homiletics is the study of preaching. And in this old commentary from the 1800s, the Preacher's Homiletical Commentary, in Proverbs chapter 2, in this section, this suggestion was made, and I want to share it with you. In regarding the Word of God and these eight imperatives about receiving and storing up and bending our ear and lifting our voice, seeking, searching, crying out, these eight imperatives, in this particular commentary, here are four things that are suggested. Number one, attention. Number two, retention. Number three, reflection. And number four, supplication. And what is explained in that particular commentary by those four terms is this. Number one, if we're going to retain the Word, if we're going to study the Word of God, then we've got to give it our attention. That's the daily discipline. We're going to walk with God. then it's going to require our attention. This isn't just something that we blow off because we'll get to it later. It's going to require our attention. And then after we have given the Word of God our attention to find the wisdom, to make the choice of the right path, to end up in the right destination, that's what this is all about. We're trying to give attention to the Word of God, to gain the wisdom that's found there, to make the right choice about the right path, to end up at the right destination. And once we have paid attention to what the Word of God says, then there comes arises the need for retention. We've got to retain what we've read. We've got to retain what we've studied. And then once there is retention, then we further develop that by reflection. Psalm chapter 1 says, in His Word does He do what? Meditate day and night. That's what reflection is being talked about in that old commentary. We meditate. We think about it. We say it to ourselves. We talk to ourselves. We let it roll around in our mind so that we have paid attention and retained it, and now we're meditating on it. We're trying to put those nuggets and grams of wisdom all into the little crevices of our heart and mind, and we're planting that all the places so that when the need arises, we can use it. But there's one other word that's used in that old commentary that says supplication. And we usually think about supplication when we think about prayer. And the point is made, and I think it's a very excellent one for us to reflect on ourselves, that not only do we have the book, not only do we have access to the book, and I don't mean just the book of Proverbs, I mean the whole Bible. Not only do we have access to the book, we also have access to the author. And because we have access to the author, remember we're talking about walking with God. And because we have access not only to the book, but we also have access to the author, we can pray to Him about what we've read, about what we've studied. And we can make supplication from our heart and mind that we might gain the wisdom. James chapter 1, if any man lacks wisdom, do what? Let him ask of God. Supplication. Because we not only have the words, we not only have the book, we have the author of the book at our disposal. And we can talk to Him anytime we wish for as long as we wish. Walking with God. But now, I want you to notice there's a second kind of walk that's described in Proverbs chapter 2. And it's in verses 11 through 19. Verses 1 through 10 talk about walking with God. Verses 11 through 19 talk about walking with the wicked. Remember, we said this is all about a choice. It's about reading the Word of God, to find the wisdom in the Word of God, to make the right choice about the right path that will lead us to the right destination. Well, we can choose to walk with God, or we can choose to walk with the wicked. And really, that description begins in verse 11 down through verse 19. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. Discretion. Discretion will guard you, and understanding will protect you. Remember we said the idea here is that wisdom protects our path. verse 12. Delivering you from the way of evil, from the men who speak in deceit, from those who lead the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in evil deeds and who delight in the crookedness of evil men, whose paths are crooked and their ways deceitful, to deliver you from the strange woman, the foreigner, who makes her words smooth. She leaves the friends of her youth and forgets her covenant with God. She sinks into her house of death, and her path is to the grave. Those following her will not return. They will never regain the paths of life. While the first 10 verses talk to us about the imperatives of walking with God and reading His Word to find that wisdom to choose the right path, there is a contrast in verses 11 through 19. And that's the walk that we could take with the wicked. And there are two characters, you might say, introduced to us in the book of Proverbs in chapter 2 in verses 11 through 19. There is the evil man and there is the strange woman. There is the evil man, or we might perhaps better categorize her as the wicked woman, the evil woman. The evil man, the evil woman. And these two characters, so to speak, will come up again and again and again in a study of the book of Proverbs. And we see the danger that they present to us who are trying to choose to walk in the right pathway, because these people, while we're trying to choose to walk in the right pathway, these people, the evil man and the evil woman, are over here to the side of the pathway saying, "Hey, over here! We need to talk to you. Come on, join us." And they're relentless. They don't ever shut up. They don't ever stop. They're constantly tapping you on the shoulder, pecking you on the backside, trying to get your attention, trying to say, "Come on, come on, come on, over here, over here, over here, over here, over here." And they don't ever give up. Because they're so successful. They win so many people. They just keep pulling and keep pulling and keep pulling. And they're pulling at you and they're pulling at me. They're over on the side of the path. And they're saying, "Hey, over here, look at what I've got. Let me talk to you about this." The evil man and the evil woman. The people who, as you go back and you look at the verses again, leave the paths of uprightness, who walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in evil deeds, who delight in the crookedness of evil men. The one who forgets her covenant with God, and her house is the house of death, and those following that pathway never return again. There's a very vivid description of the evil woman in Proverbs chapter 7 and the tactics that she will use for luring the simple ones, as they are called sometimes in the book of Proverbs, into that trap that Satan has set. You see, this is about walking with the wicked. This is about that broad gate, that wide gate, and that broad way that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7 that leads to destruction. This is about the pathway that is unfruitful. This is about the pathway that leads us to death. It's a path, though, that we can choose and probably will choose if we do not reinforce ourselves with the Word of God and the wisdom that we find and discern there to make the right choice about the right path to go to the right place. One reason so many people have chosen this path is because they have not been taught the Word of God by those of us who know it. Or perhaps they have been taught and they have rejected it because those people over on the sidelines saying, "Come over here, check this out," have pulled them away. And they perhaps, in many cases, are hopelessly gone, never to return. It happens too many times. And that's one of the ways in which we may walk. It's one of the choices man may make. I do not encourage you at all to walk this path. I do not encourage you at all to walk this way. Do not walk with the wicked. Walk with God. And that brings us really to our third and final point that we want to address this evening from chapter 2, and that's walking with the righteous. We started out with walking with God in verses 1 through 10. Then verses 11 through 19 talk about walking with the wicked. And then the last two or three verses of the chapter talk about the benefits and blessings of walking with the righteous. There's the wicked and there's the righteous. Which one do we want to walk with? Which one do we choose? And as you look at the last few verses of the chapter, Proverbs 2, verse 20, "But you will walk in the way of good men and observe the paths of the righteous. The upright will dwell in the land, and people of integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the criminals or unfaithful will be driven from it." Walking with the righteous. You see, if we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to walk with God's people. If we're going to walk with God's people, we're going to find ourselves walking with the righteous. Not self-righteous, but those who have humbly given themselves to God to walk in His paths, not because they are so inherently good themselves, but because they have read the Word. Here it goes again. They have read the Word of God to find the wisdom that's in it. Y'all probably all already say this. I've said it so many times. To make the right choice about the right path to end up in the right place. That's the people we want to be walking with, because those are the people who are going to encourage us to stay on that path. They're not going to be over on the sideline saying, "Hey, over here, check out this. Look at this." They're going to be on the path with us, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, and we're going to walk on that pathway of wisdom to end up at the right place together. Walking with the righteous. We don't veer from it. We don't deviate from it. We walk with the righteous. I want you to notice an interesting thing in this chapter, if you develop it and you look at it in its entirety. In verse 1, there's really a logical progression here of a line of argumentation that is given in chapter 2. In verse 1, it begins with "if." When you look at verse 1, "if you receive my words." And then, when you move down to verse 9, there is "then." Then you will understand. If you will receive, then you will understand. And then look at verse 20. And if you're reading this with the New International Version, it says the word "thus." A lot of other translations say "so then," but "thus." You see the progression there? If, then, thus. If you will walk, if you will receive the Word of God, then you will walk in the paths of the righteousness of the righteous. Thus you will receive God's word. Thus you will walk in the way of good, righteous men. So if, then, thus. See, this is a process that we've got to go through. We've got to think about. Like I said, this isn't just, bam, I read my Bible for 10 minutes today and I'm finished till tomorrow and I never think about it in between the next 23 hours and 50 minutes. I am dedicating myself to that book that God has given me. And I am reading it to find the wisdom that's in it, to make the right choice, to go on the right path, to end up at the right place. Walking with God. Because wisdom, remember the whole idea that we're looking at tonight, wisdom protects our path. And we find that protection when we walk with God. And we walk with the righteous, because that's God's people. And we avoid walking with the wicked, because those are the people who are not God's people, and they don't want to encourage us to remain as God's people. Walk with God. And again, it reminds us, and I guess it's appropriate as we end all of this, of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. There are two paths, which of necessity indicates a choice. There's a broad path, a broad road, a broad way that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow path. There's a difficult path that leads to life eternal. One, many find it. It's big. It's flashy. It's showy. It's no problem to find it. The other, straight and narrow, difficult and narrow, challenging is the way. Few. Jesus said, few there be who find it. Will you be one of the few? Will you be one of the few that reads the Word of God to find the wisdom, to make the choice about the right path, to go to the right place for all eternity? Will you be one of the few? Will you obey the gospel? Will you be restored? Will you walk in the paths of righteousness? Will you, if you're ready, as we stand and sing tonight?